Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. We also ask that as you listen, you prayerfully consider coming alongside Ware's Valley Ranch and supporting this ministry to children in crisis through a tax-deductible donation. To find out more about how you can help, call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit us online at wvr.org. Again, thanks for listening, and now we join the broadcast. Now, I will come to you after I pass through Macedonia, for I'll be traveling through Macedonia, and perhaps I will remain with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. I don't want to see you now just in passing, since I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord allows. I hope you notice that I emphasized three qualifiers in this section. First of all, he says, perhaps I'll remain with you or even spend the winter. I don't want to see you now since I hope, that's the second one. Perhaps, I hope, third, if the Lord allows. That's instructive because that is totally consistent with what we read in James about how we're supposed to plan and express our plans. If the Lord allows. Lord willing, I'll do this. We had a little boy some years ago who had learned that from us. He was one of the students here at the ranch. And he wanted to show my wife that he could jump over some little tumbling mats that were stacked up. And he said, Mrs. Wood, watch this. I'm going to run and jump over those mats. And then he looked at her and he said, Lord willing, I'm going to jump over the mats. We love that. Precious little kid learning already that you can set a goal, you can have a plan, but as you express that, you need to acknowledge the fact that you are not God. You and I are not in control. How many of you in February anticipated what happened in March? We didn't see it coming, did we? We didn't anticipate it. We don't know what's going to happen in September. We don't know what's going to happen in October, and we don't know what's going to happen in November. And if you have any wits about you at all, you realize that what happens this November is going to have a huge impact on what happens after November. Amen? So, what should we do? Trust God and pray hard. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, give thanks. But there's a lot at stake. Yes, there is. But when we're making plans, we need to plan with a keen awareness that the one who controls the universe is our dad. And he loves us. And he's working everything together for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Oh, but there's so much at stake. Yes, there is. So we ought to really pray hard. And we ought to work hard at doing what God calls us to do. But folks, one thing God doesn't just not call us to do, but he calls us not to do, is worry. God doesn't say, you know, you don't have to worry. God says, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. He also says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, so how do you keep from it? Look at him. make plans, but realize that God's the one in charge. And so if the Lord allows, this is what we'll do. It's fine to have plans, but realize that God's in charge. When Daniel read in the prophecy of Jeremiah that the exile in Babylon was going to last 70 years, he said, oh, great. I don't have to pray about it then. No, no. When he read that, he went to prayer. And he prayed fervently that the exile in Babylon would end at the end of 70 years. Well, why would you do that? Because that's what the Lord teaches us to do. Yeah, but if God's already made up his mind, the purpose of prayer is not to get God to do our will. The purpose of prayer is to get us in line with God's will. And so Daniel prayed fervently for God's will to come to pass, even though he knew that God's will would come to pass. In this passage, Paul is going to pray for the return of Christ. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, do we need to get a bunch of us saying it so that he'll come? No, he's going to come either way. Do you want to be in sync with what he's doing? Or do you want to be clueless and focused on other stuff? You go to God's word to learn the will of God, and then you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that going to happen only if enough of us pray it? No, that's going to happen. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So whether you're in on it or not, God's going to do what he said he's going to do. But don't you want to be in on it? Don't you want to be celebrating at the party instead of saying, whoa, what's that? Rejoice and trust him.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, verse 8 and following. I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost because a wide door for effective ministry has opened for me. Yet many oppose me. Paul says, here's my schedule coming up. I'm going to be in Ephesus until Pentecost because the weather is so nice in Ephesus. Right? Nope, that's not the reason. I'm going to be in Ephesus because I'm making a lot of money here. Nope, that's not the reason. Why is he going to be in Ephesus until Pentecost? Because a wide door has been opened by the Lord for me to do effective ministry. Oh, so everybody there likes you? No, many are opposed to me. But I still see that God is doing great things here, and so I want to be faithful. Would you feel that God was blessing and giving you a wide door of effective ministry if you had many people opposing you? Not just many people indifferent to you, many people opposing you. I would kind of take that as a clue that this is not where I'm supposed to be. Okay? Paul says he has many who are opposing him, but they do not obscure the fact that a wide door for effective ministry is opened for me. We should learn from that. Now, verse 10, if Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear while with you, because he is doing the Lord's work just as I am. So let no one look down on him. Send him on his way in peace so that he can come to me, because I'm expecting him with the brothers. Timothy, repeatedly in the New Testament, is presented as a guy who apparently has something of a nervous disposition. You know, right after what I've said to you about not worrying, not being anxious, Timothy is one of the main people who had to be told that, okay? Because he clearly had a spirit of timidity that was not from the Lord and that he had to work against. And Paul says, I want you to be nice to Timothy. If he comes there, you be kind to him and make sure he has nothing to cause him anxiety, to make him fearful, okay? You be good to him and send him on his way in peace. And he says this, I want you to be kind to Timothy because he's doing the Lord's work just as I am. Paul says that Timothy is doing the Lord's work just like Paul is. That's instructive for us, isn't it? We might look at somebody else and see their weakness and feel like their contribution is really not that significant. Paul says, that guy is a treasure. He's like a son to me. And I want you to be nice to him because what he's doing is just like what I'm doing. Praise God. Praise God. So let no one look down on him. Verse 12. Now about our brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to come to you with the brothers, but he was not at all willing to come. So I want you to be sure that when he does show his face, you refuse to have anything to do with him. Is that right? Is that what Paul said? Can you imagine saying no to the Apostle Paul when he urges you to go somewhere? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Paul says, I strongly urged Apollos to come to you with the brothers. But he was not at all willing to come now. Earlier in this letter, Paul said that there were some in Corinth who considered themselves followers of Paul, some who considered themselves followers of Apollos, some who considered themselves followers of Peter, and some who just claimed to be, you know, we're so spiritual, we just follow Christ. Okay? But let me tell you something. Paul didn't say, I'm the real one, those guys are frauds. He says, we're all just co-workers. You're the Lord's field. You're the Lord's building. You belong to him. I'm doing what God's called me to do. Apollos is doing what God has called him to do. Peter's doing what God has called him to do. But get your eyes on Jesus. But that doesn't mean that people are devalued. It means that even when Apollos wouldn't do what Paul strongly urged, Paul says, however, he'll come when he has an opportunity. He doesn't say he's ungodly, he's unspiritual, he wouldn't listen to my mature wisdom. He says, I just want you to know, I urged him to come to you. Okay? There's not competition between us where you don't need him. I thought you'd benefit from his coming. I urged him to come. But this wasn't the right time for him. He refused. Okay? But he'll come when he has the opportunity. That's a beautiful picture of the way it's supposed to work in the body of Christ. Verse 13 and 14. Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. That's a good word for all of us. Be alert. Man, do we need that. Stand firm in the faith. There's tremendous pressure to compromise, to let the world squeeze us into its mold. You need to stand firm in the faith. In order to do that, you've got to be courageous. You've got to be courageous. And then this translation, the CSB says, be strong. Literally, what it says is, act like men. Act like men. So is this saying that women should not be feminine? No, it's saying that men should not be feminine. Men are supposed to be those who are strong, who stand firm. Well, what about the women? You can be feminine and very strong. I'll introduce you to my wife, or my mom, or Proverbs 31. Whether you're a man or a woman, when it comes to the matters of the faith, standing for righteousness, you need to be strong. But don't miss the next verse. Do everything in love. Do everything in love. How can you be standing firm in the faith and being courageous and and still do it in love. First of all, because it's unloving not to do those things. It's unloving not to do those things. If you do not stand firm, you are not loving your neighbor. You are not loving your culture, your country. If you compromise, if you hide your light under a bushel, you are not loving others. Well, but, you know, I'm afraid if I do that, there's going to be opposition. Don't be afraid. There will be opposition. Paul said God opened a broad door of ministry, even though there was much opposition. Jesus is love incarnate, and he did not compromise. Not ever. He was courageous. He was a true man, and he is God. Brothers and sisters, you know the household of Stephanas. They are the first fruits of Achaia and have devoted themselves to serving the saints. I urge you also to submit to such people and to everyone who works and labors with them. You know what? This is suggesting that Christians ought to submit themselves to the authority within the body of certain other Christians, like the household of Stephanas. He says, they are good leaders. You need to look to them and submit to their authority. That doesn't sound very democratic. It's not, but it's biblical. There are a lot of things that I have to do, not because I want to, but because those in authority say so. Now, if those in authority ever command us to do something God forbids or to not do something God commands, then I'm going to have to obey God and not whatever authorities there are. But if those in authority simply make it less convenient or less pleasant for us to do what God commands, well, we need to be willing to prayerfully go along with that as long as we're able. But there may come a time when the government is decreeing things that we simply cannot go along with. Notice that the church that meets in the home of Aquila and Priscilla sends greetings. It is my understanding, haven't verified this with my friends in California, but I've read in the news several accounts suggesting that the governor of California has banned not only meetings in churches, but meetings in homes. Church meetings in homes. Can you imagine? What do you do at that point? I'd say you obey God. Well, doesn't the government have a legitimate role? Maybe some of these house meetings are too big. I don't know all the details. I just know this. There really are people in various levels and branches of government who are hostile toward the church and would really, really like for us to just go away. It's fine to say when you sing, you spread germs. So wear a mask. Okay, we can do that. But it's not fine to say you can't meet, you can't get together, you can't even do it outdoors. No authority can command what God forbids or forbid what God commands. Just bear that in mind and realize that we are facing a very real threat in this country from forces that are not concerned so much about your health as they are about their own power and control. He says, I'm delighted to have these fellows, Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus present, because they've made up for your absence. They've refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, recognize such people. We need to recognize those who are serving the Lord well. And the churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla send you greetings warmly in the Lord, along with the church that meets in their home. All the brothers and sisters send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. At the very least, even if you don't start kissing everybody in church, at the very least, you need to recognize that our Christian culture in this land is largely out of step with what Scripture repeatedly tells us about the importance of physically demonstrating our love and affection for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I'm willing maybe to do a fist bump or an elbow. If that's because of COVID, I'll give you a pass for now. But some of us were that way years ago. And it wasn't germs. It was just that we kind of grew up in a culture that was dominated by British mores, okay? I mean, along the Mediterranean, everybody kisses each other, okay? In Israel and the rest of the Middle East, everybody greets one another with a kiss, okay? unless they're British. But there's affection everywhere, in Eastern Europe, in Russia, in South America. I mean, all over the place, in Africa. There's this warm, physical, hugging and kissing. And let me just tell you, it really gave me a difficult time as I started to do some travels around the world. Because I didn't grow up like that. I also had a real hard time learning to do this in church. Okay? Because I didn't grow up like that. But I kept finding it in the Bible that God wants us to do that. God likes it when we do that. Why do you do that? God likes it. Well, are you sure? Yes, Old and New Testament, we're told to do that. Your arms will not fall off. Okay, you can do it. Thank you, praise the Lord. It is possible, okay? It's amazing how even in the most straight-laced British homes, little children who have not yet been trained not to do so, when they see mom or dad, go like this, because they want to be held close. It's an innate response that we have stifled in our culture and taught people when you are in God's house, you need to keep your hands at your side, unless you're holding a hymnal or a Bible, okay? Keep your hands down. You don't want to distract anybody. You don't want to look emotional. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we need to greet one another with a holy kiss. If anybody tries that on me, I want you to keep your mask on. Again, I submit that God's word, at the very least, if you're going to paraphrase it, says we need to show physical affection for one another because this is pleasing to the Lord. This greeting is in my own hand, Paul. Paul, at this point, he's had someone else writing for him, but at this point, he says, I'm going to sign this myself because he wants them to recognize so that if they get a letter from him, it ought to have his signature so they know it's really from him, not someone else pretending to be him. And then he says, if anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. In chapter 3 of John's Gospel, we're told that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. But at the end of the chapter, it says, so anyone who believes in the Son has life, and anyone who doesn't is still under the wrath of God. These are your only alternatives. If you don't love the Lord, you're under a curse. You're under a curse. God says so. And then he says, come quickly, Jesus. Maranatha, our Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with all of you in Christ Jesus. Folks, that is a benediction from the Lord. He loves us. But if you have believed in him and trusted him, then you love him too. And we love him because he first loved us. Do you love him? Do you know him? Are you trusting him?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.abide.org.